Once again, here is Albert Taylor. His book is Soul Traveler. If you're intrigued, if you've had the beginning of the experience or the experience itself, it doesn't matter. That's a book you ought to grab right away. And by the way, Albert, I assume they still can grab that book at Amazon and all the usuals, right?
Right. Because of the demand, my publisher is trying to catch up, but it's still out there, still available.
Okay.
If nothing else, it'll be just delayed a little bit.
And it will explain to you how to actually proceed with this. So many of the people that I'm sure we're about to talk to have had the beginning signs of this, and they're afraid to proceed.
Right.
Like me. I haven't changed in all the years.
You haven't, Art. It's been 10 years, Art.
No, I haven't changed. I find those beginning things truly terrifying. And I yank myself out of them every single time.
Oh, all right. What am I going to do with you?
I don't know. I just, you know, they are terrifying, Albert.
Yes, they are. I totally admit. And I even labeled myself an astral chicken. So I totally admit that they are. The only thing is that I can share with people is it's not like a light switch. You can get over the fear, and then you can explore.
How do you get over the fear?
You have to realize, just take little jaunts. Don't go very far.
No. That's over on the other side of the fear part. You don't get to go anywhere until you get past the fear part.
That's true. But I think the only thing you can do is just practice leaving your body, practice floating just a little bit above your body, practice basking in that paralysis vibrational area.
Okay, that's the part that I need to know about.
Yeah,
the paralysis, the vibration, the big buzzing sound, all of that. I've left once at the big buzz, well, more than once at the big buzzing sound. And I just can't get past that.
Right. You just have to bask in it and just get used to it.
Bask
and then
in it.
Slowly move beyond that. And take it easy. Don't rush yourself. And try not to guess what is going to happen. Because if you try to guess, just that thought can create some dream material that can scare you.
Whew. All right.
You have to be an observer, which is to take practice.
Okay. International line, you're on the air with Albert Taylor. Where are you calling from, please?
Calling from Great Britain.
Great Britain.
Manchester.
Oh, Manchester. Oh, well,
yes,
welcome.
Sir.
Welcome to the program.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much. I was just wondering if two people can have a coordinately out-of-body experience together.
Definitely.
I've had dreams with friends where it feels like we're there together. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. You have to be on the same level as far as capability, but if you both of you can leave your physical body at the same time, you definitely will see each other, and it doesn't matter if they're halfway around the world. You can definitely have an encounter with them.
Caller, have you ever had that and then gone to those people and asked, you know, in some way whether they can verify it?
Yes, but it's always like we're having a dream together or something.
Well, it is, I guess, Albert, it is like that, right? Right?
Well, yeah, it depends on how consciously aware you are. You can be in a semi-dream state, and you can be in a conscious state, or you can be in a super-conscious state. It just depends on the individual.
And how many times, when you've had a collective experience like the one he described, does the other person come back and say, well, yeah, I had the same dream, or well, I was there.
Yeah, just like I mentioned in the doctor, when I was at the foot of her bed,
right.
She thought she had a dream with me standing at the foot of her bed. It just depends on her level of awareness and consciousness. If she's at a conscious level, she will remember the out-of-body experience just as well as I am. And if she's at a super-conscious level, she will remember that and everything that it meant.
Now that you've got several years of this under your belt, Albert, you said you still at least once a week have soul travel.
Yes.
Have you progressed in the kind of travel that you do now since I last spoke to you?
I'd say definitely. I've gone further. I've seen things that I hadn't seen before. I had an encounter with my deceased pet, which I didn't even know that could happen. There's been a steady progression, and it's also changed my interaction on the physical world with people. So definitely, I think everything that regarding the out-of-body experience is spiritual, and I think because it is spiritual, it's all about evolution in the body and out.
All right, finish this sentence for me. The difference between soul travel and a near-death experience is?
near-death experience, you're pretty much a passenger. You're not very much in control of where you go. You go into the light or through the tunnel,
yes.
And then you're told you have to come back. In an out-of-body experience, you're 100%, well, not 100, I'd say 95% in control of the actual experience and where you go, how long you stay there, and when you come back. One is you're a passenger,
but
you're a driver.
Okay, but you're traveling many of the same highways.
Yes, definitely, definitely. But one is you're a passenger, and one is you're the driver.
Okay. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Albert Taylor. Good morning.
Yes, is that me?
That's you.
I'm sorry. I'm Bob, and I was wondering if Albert has had the experience of meeting his soul parents. I had a sweat lodge experience where...
Did you say your soul parents?
Yes.
Okay.
I went through three or four layers of consciousness and zoomed through the female and the male soul.
So soul parents.
I haven't had that experience, but I'm writing it on my things to do list.
Oh.
And I haven't had that one yet.
Okay.
All right. So that came from an altered state of consciousness. In other words, a sweat lodge is a altered state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Albert, do you see most altered states of consciousness as pathways for this to occur?
100%, Art.
You
definitely
do. You
it
do,
just depends on what your intentions are as to what manifests. You can have remote viewing from an altered state. You can have an out-of-body experience from an altered state. It depends on you.
What about drugs?
There are some drugs that have caused people to have altered states of consciousness. Peyote. Timothy Leary, wasn't he talking about LSD?
Hallucinogens, yeah.
Yeah, hallucinogens. There are, yes, it is capable. There's some that hinder it, too. But it's such a very natural and easy thing to do as far as relaxation and visualization and clearing your mind that I recommend you just do it naturally and don't have to worry about it because you can do it as many times as you want.
Well, that's interesting. I always ask guests about this of your sort, and you have admitted, as most don't, by the way, that mm-hmm. hallucinogens could be a pathway.
Yes, some are. That's the history of an altered state. Native Americans have been doing it for a long time. That's the history. Yes, some do cause you to have an altered state, and then some hinder it. It just depends, but I don't recommend the ones that do at all.
What type of drugs hinder it?
Alcohol does, barbiturates. That's about the only one I can
get
think
the
of
idea.
Right now.
That's fine. I get the idea.
Yeah.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Albert Taylor. Good morning.
Hi, Art. Hi, Albert.
Hello.
This is Sandra in Ohio. I'm enjoying the program very much. Thank you.
Hi, Sandra.
The 360-degree vision that you mentioned as part of an OBE state, I've had a few fully conscious OBEs myself, and I've experienced the same type of vision in my mediumship work, sometimes in a solid meditative state. But I was hoping you could comment on the concept of lucid dreaming. Mm-hmm. I've had a few lucid dreams also, or a number of them through my whole life, but a few where I was in two or three places at the same time, it seeming to view from two or three vantage points, mm-hmm. where in one I would be me thinking consciously as the human part of Sandra, looking out through my eyes, and then suddenly I'm at another vantage point where I have more knowing of what's going on in the situation, and I'm observing myself doing some kind of stupid, ignorant things, which mm-hmm. I guess I would normally do in my waking state. And then from there, I'm sometimes in a third perspective looking at the two of me. We're all observing kind of each other, the more ignorant human part, not being aware of the other two parts.
And you're too hard on yourself, Sandra.
Exactly. And at one point, I had a dream a few months ago where I actually turned in my ignorant state and realized someone was looking at me, and it was that classic vision of the higher self, the long gray hair type of thing. But this is the first time I was able to turn and look at that being and look into that being's eyes. And in the black part where the pupil actually should be, this brilliant white light came out, and then suddenly I was in that being's place, mm-hmm. looking out at the ignorant human self,
all this
knowledge came forward.
All right, let's back up a little bit and ask for a definition of lucid dreaming, Albert.
Okay. Well, lucid dreaming can occur while you're in the body. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're having an out-of-body experience. But lucid dreaming, as you progress in awareness, can lead to projecting and projecting the soul, the
okay,
self.
Okay, what is lucid dreaming? As opposed to regular dreams.
Well, regular dreaming is when you pretty much accept any type of thing that may be very odd, like a pink elephant or something strange like that. You accept it in the dream. Lucid dreaming is when you become aware and you know you're dreaming. You know your body somewhere is asleep, and you know what you see in front of you is dream material, and you can change it or you can fly, but you're in total control, and you're very aware. You become yourself instead of in that dream state where you pretty much aren't aware of yourself. But because you become aware, now you can move on to becoming having a consciously controlled, spontaneous out-of-body experience from the lucid state.
So the lucid dream is a state in which you're closer to the possibility of an OBE.
And it's a lot of fun because even I've had lucid dreams many, many ones. And I used to, when I was a little kid, I used to say to my mother, I wake up in my dreams, Mommy, then I fly, because I didn't know the term lucid dream at the time. But it's literally you become aware in your dream that you are dreaming, and then you can do all kinds of incredible things. It's fun in itself without even having an out-of-body experience.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Albert Taylor. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, Albert. Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'd always had that paralysis, and I thought it was a dream.
Mm-hmm.
But in mine, it's not fun at all.
No, it isn't.
Oh, you're right.
No, it isn't.
I mean, with me, I would be aware that I was paralyzed, and for me it was like, you can't move, you can't breathe. If you don't wake up, you're going to die.
It's absolute terror.
Yeah, it is. You know,
absolutely. And I never went from there into the, out-of-body experience, but I've had flying dreams,
mm-hmm.
only I thought they were dreams because it wasn't the present.
Oh, flying dreams are my favorites.
Yeah,
I love
too.
Those, but in the flying dreams, my fear of heights comes in. And I can't go very high.
Right. And that's exactly what will happen. Even if any fear you have will limit you. And one of the things I learned is to focus on the positive rather than the negative. I would fly over like a ravine, and then I'd look down, and then the thought would come into my head, oh, God, I hope I don't fall. And
then immediately
I would start plummeting down.
Well, my question was, the paralysis dreams, there would be a presence there, but it was never a good presence.
But
see, that might be subjective.
I mean, can you bring, if you allow yourself to go, can you bring back something bad?
Not that, to my knowledge. But let me explain to you the feeling you had of something negative.
Okay.
Because fear is heightened tenfold, just the intensity of the fear is going to convince you that it's real, but it doesn't mean that that's a negative thing, but it's going to be extremely scary. Yes, there's always something around us. It's always there, but it's more positive. I mean, it's extremely positive.
But can
it's
you
not
die
to be feared?
Can you die?
Pardon me?
From it? Can
no.
The experience kill you?
Not at all. Not at all.
I have a
and the paralysis. What that is? The reason you're having breathing problems
mm-hmm.
is because you have to relinquish or let go of control over the physical body. That's and it kind of feels like a mini death. That's why it feels so uncomfortable because you feel like you can't breathe and you can't move. And if you think about that, it is. You're dying, of course the fear is going to be multiplied tenfold and you're going to be very fearful.
See,
but it's about releasing control.
Ma'am, you're exactly where I get to, and that's where I give up the ghost and I say, this is horrible, it's scary, I'm out of here.
It doesn't feel good.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I make myself wake up and then I don't go to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't
but you
go back
can
to
move
sleep.
Past it.
Yeah.
And then all of that goes away. The breathing problems, the paralysis, the weight on your chest some people feel, that all goes away.
I was overdosed on morphine in a hospital. And I literally couldn't move or breathe, and I coded, died. I had no experience, no memory of that whatsoever. But since then, I haven't had the paralysis dream.
Mm.
Could that have...
Well, you can induce it. And in my book, in Chapter 10, it teaches you there's 5 or 6 different techniques that actually teach you how to induce the paralysis. And if Art gives me a chance, I'll share one of the techniques with you on the air that everybody can try.
Let's rock. Do it right now. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, what you do is eat before 6 o'clock because the body uses energy to process food. Go to bed about 10 o'clock and set your alarm clock to wake you up about 1:30 in the morning. When the alarm clock goes off, get out of bed. You can't just hit the sleep button. Get out of bed and stay up for about maybe 2 hours. Then go back to bed, and when you go back to bed, lay perfectly still. Get all your scratching and itching out of the way and lay perfectly still and stay there and just focus on that little area above your lip where the breath is coming out. Because what you're doing is you're trying to recreate a time when you, and everybody's experienced this, when you've been on the freeway and you're real sleepy and tired, and for that brief second you nod out.
Yes.
Even though you're trying not to.
Of course.
Well, now you're in a safe environment, and the body still requires about 2 to 4 more hours of sleep. And as long, and if you lay perfectly still, even if you try to stay awake, the body's going to fall asleep. But because you gave the consciousness 2 hours or 4 hours to sleep in the beginning, the consciousness is going to be very alert. And that's why we have dreams in the middle of the night, like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning like that, because the consciousness becomes more alert during that time period.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, so try it. All the listeners out there, try it. And I guarantee you a lot of people will have their, if they haven't had out-of-body experiences before, they will definitely have an out-of-body experience from that, the interrupted sleep technique, I call it.
And it's a plus, there's intent.
Yes.
You know, very serious intent. If you go to the trouble to set your alarm clock and you say, I'm going to give this a shot.
Right.
You have created a gigantic intent,
that
right?
Intent is important. Very important.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. I wonder how many people will try it, and I wonder how many emails I will get.
I would love for you to get emails and even forward them to me or let me know. Because I have a feeling it's going to be
a very
people
large,
all over the world.
Yeah, I do agree. I really do agree. Yeah. West of the Rockies, not a lot of time to the bottom of the hour, but you're on the air with Albert Taylor. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
I'll just get straight to my question. I'm really happy to talk to you, Art.
Thank you.
This has been plaguing me for about 15 years, and I wonder if you've ever heard of this, Albert, but I have had spontaneous, as Art has, out-of-body experiences, but I get caught up in this earlier on, very violent spinning force that I came to recognize about 5 years ago as the vortex that people talk about, and that was a huge epiphany to me to recognize it as such.
A violent spinning.
Yeah, and the very, very first time it was what I would call a lucid dream, and then immediately thereafter, maybe once or twice a year, and it's usually when I'm really tired, it happens in between the state of...
Yes.
Consciousness of going to sleep and being awake.
Like you're going into a vortex.
Yeah, just I don't see it.
All right,
but
we don't
feel it.
I've got it. We don't have a lot of time here. Albert, what about it?
If you do not set your intention on what you want to experience, the astral body kind of just does its thing and it goes crazy. You can spin, it'll spin around, it'll bounce you off the walls, it'll do all kinds of things because it's not being guided. I don't know when you're having this exactly, but. And if you're flying around or having an out-of-body experience, electrical wires can kind of cause you to have that uncontrolled, trapped feeling, too.
So you're an intercontinental, unguided, ballistic soul.
Yes.
You know, even... even if you've never done this, and you only do it once, it really is something that will allow you to suddenly understand that you are more than your collective flesh and bones and whatever you are, you know, your physical body. It will allow you to understand you are more than that. And that's one of man's biggest questions, of course. Circling back to what I said, Albert, I'm sure you get a very great deal of mail from all over the place, and I wonder how many prisoners.
It, you know, Art, it's funny that you would even mention it because I laughed when you said it. I get tons of letters from prisoners after doing Coast to Coast.
I would think.
I mean, I would, you know, and it makes sense. If everyone's on solitary confinement and when they literally say, I have nothing to do here, I want to learn how to travel out of my body. So I
yes.
get tons of letters from prisoners.
We got a big, big audience in the joint.
Definitely.
Albert, no
definitely.
Question about it.
All right. I wonder if I could mention a couple of things that I'm involved in that people may be interested in.
Rock on.
I'm teaching an ongoing out-of-body experience class here in Anaheim. It's called. It has a real catchy name. It's called Astral Knots, like astronauts, but it's astral. it's every Monday at 7 p.m. It's at what's called the Learning Light Foundation. And if anybody's interested in there and joining, the class is quite large, but we accept new people. It's 714-533-2311. And I'm also I'd like to mention the website for the paranormal stuff we're doing.
Wait a minute. A lot of people are going to, you know, you give numbers and it goes right past people.
So
let me give it again. I heard 714-533-2311.
Correct.
And how long is this?
It's ongoing. You know, it was only going to be for a month.
Yes.
But because the people there, I've even heard them say, you know, this is like my church. So the people there don't want it to end. So they all voted to have it go on indefinitely. And I that's what it is now. It's an indefinite out-of-body experience class that we teach all kinds of techniques and expand on them and share experiences. And it's just going to be ongoing. So if anybody wants to get involved, it's a real exciting class.
I'd be careful about calling it a church.
Yeah, well, I don't call it that, but they said that. They said it's like their church. I thought, well, in a way, that's so complimentary because I wasn't thinking anything like that. But if that they feel that comfortable, I assume that's what they mean, then that's great. Come, because there's some warm, loving people there. And like you said, you will truly discover who and what you really are.
Well, that certainly is true.
Yeah.
Even if it's only once, the experience absolutely will teach you that you're more than just what you're made up of. I got lucky. And how often, Albert, does a completely spontaneous, without warning kind of OBE occur?
Sometimes it can only happen once in your life. I know one woman never had one, and at 40 years old, she had one.
Right.
But if you intend after you have one, the door swings open, so to speak, and it's up to you to pursue it. And it's easier the second time, and it gets easier the third time. So I suggest if you have one, then you can have a host of experiences if you aggressively pursue it.
Mm-hmm. All right. First-time caller line, your turn with Albert Taylor.
Hello. How are you both doing tonight?
Quite well, thank you.
Okay, I would like to relate some of my experiences and then get your input on them, if that's okay.
If you can do it fairly quickly.
Okay, I'll try. Well, my second OBE I ever had, I felt like I was moving sideways instead of upwards, and I was coinciding with my wife's body as she laid next to me, and it was one of the strangest feelings I've ever had in my life. And then I felt like I was moving into her, I saw a woman, and she had dark hair, and she was really nasty looking, really mean looking, and she told me that everyone I care about in my entire life is gonna die on me or leave me or something like that, something to that effect. I don't remember exactly.
Ooh,
and I heard a baby crying,
nasty.
And it really hit me emotionally. It was one of the most despairing feelings I've ever had in my life.
All right, we'll have to hold it there. But what he said, Albert, about traveling virtually into his wife's body next to him—that's fascinating.
Right. Yeah, and when you do that, you should have been able to. I don't know if she was conscious, and I guess she was asleep, but you should be able to feel her emotions too. So that's definitely possible. Now, the other thing that you mentioned, you got to really be careful when you're in that state of consciousness, because any wayward thoughts, any kind of thing can be created out of the substance that's around you, but it doesn't mean that it's real. Even something that appears to be an entity can be created. So the haggard, ugly-looking person that you saw may have been that something that you created, and because it was so intense, that's what I was mentioning before. The fear emotion is multiplied tenfold, so it would be so intense it would actually convince you it's real.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be an observer, and it takes practice. But like I said, I've been doing this a long time. I continue to do it. My mother's 83 years old, and she does it, and she doesn't have any negative experiences.
But again, I think you sympathize perhaps a little less with people who are early on and really afraid of this because you're so damn good at it.
I do understand the fear, and I address that in my book. And I itemize the times that I was terrified. I mean, Art, I was so scared in the beginning that I would literally jump out of my bed in the middle of the night and go running through my house, turning on all the lights in the house.
Oh, I know the feeling.
And I would stay up all night long. And I had to be at Johnson Space Center in the morning. So I understand the fear wholeheartedly.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Albert Taylor. Morning.
Hi, Art. Great to have you out there.
Thank you.
I have a question for your guest. I just wanted to tell very briefly is that I did accidentally do this when I was 11. I was lying there just in my bed, and I was still, and I was thinking, and I just sat up. My body didn't sit up with me, and then after that, I had a lot of fun. And then I got scared and got yanked back by that string or whatever it was. But the main thing I wanted to say to you is, it seems to me like implied and implicit in what you're saying is that that there is no death, and that our identification, our exclusive identification with this 3D reality and our bodies is just sort of a social construct or something. And I've been suspecting that anyway. What do you think about that?
I think you hit the nail right on the head. Like Chief Seattle said, there is no death, only a change of worlds. And that's truly what it is. And this is just like a play that we're acting in, and it's very temporary. And the play is going to end, and then we're going to return back to the place where we came from, which was home, and which is the non-physical realm.
Now, home, that's an interesting point, because I have always felt like there's something really important that I'm trying to remember. And it's like not just a fact, but more like a place or a realm or a state of being that I can almost remember, but not quite.
Well, do you meditate?
No, I get a little frightened when I wasn't frightened when I did the out-of-body thing, but I get a little frightened when I try to meditate. And, well, I'm trying something new. I'm trying to do it in a sort of a half-doze lying on my back instead of sitting in a chair. So.
Well, through the meditative process, and I don't mean visualization where you think of things.
Uh-huh.
I mean clearing your mind and practicing ignoring the data that the five senses is giving you, through
right.
that state that you can achieve an altered state of consciousness. And the thing that you can't remember will be accessible if you practice it. There's nothing to be afraid
I
of. I understand the fear. But if you practice it over and over again, I guarantee you that you will be able to access memories that you're having difficulty with.
Well, I have a feeling that's very important that we do that.
It's probably about you and the essence of who you are. So I'd say it may be the most important thing that on this planet in your life.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering if it's the undifferentiated state that we may have all emanated from or something like that.
Well, if it turns out to be the number 9, I want to know. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. Here's a question, and is, I think, a good one. In the astral plane, Albert, have you met up with, and you've already said you have, other entities, in other words, non-human entities? I would think there would be a substantial amount of fear involved in that.
Initially, yes. Yes, I have. There's a host of beings there, like I mentioned earlier. So periodically, you're going to encounter souls.
I mean, is it like walking into the Star Wars bar?
You know, just about.
Really?
It's going to be souls who've never been incarnated on this planet as humans. There's going to be disembodied souls who were human. There's going to be astral travelers. There's even going to be pets, even. I discovered that recently. So there's going to be a multitude of souls that from all walks of life, or lack thereof, so to speak.
Okay. You said you discovered pets.
Pardon me?
You
yeah,
said,
my dog.
Said, yes, all right. Does that imply to you that our pets have souls exactly as we do?
It existed. I petted it. It was functional. I'd say it was as close to what we are as anything else is. I don't know.
Well, I believe that.
It definitely was there, and it surprised me because I wasn't expecting it.
Well, I believe that.
But it definitely has a soul. To what degree, how it matches ours, I don't know.
So we see, now let's think about this, Albert. We see our pets, but I take it we don't see large amounts of ground squirrels and bugs and birds and other animals. So what do you make of that?
I really didn't even believe I would see a pet because of all the Catholic upbringing that I've had.
Yes.
But, you know, there's multiple levels of the astral plane. I don't even know if the astral plane, if there's something in between that level. So who's to say? I know there's a lot of things beyond that level. Who's to say exactly where these other life forms would go when they transition from the physical body to a non-physical reality?
It's a very good point,
and
I don't expect you to explain things that you cannot explain.
Right.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Albert Taylor. Hello.
Hi, Albert. Hi, Art.
Hello.
Two things. One is my experience and one was my husband's. I, about 40 years ago, had what I believe to be my only OBE. I was sitting in math class. I was in eighth grade and very bored. And in those days, we didn't have air conditioning, so we had the window open to the classroom. It was a beautiful spring day. The sun was shining. The birds were singing. And suddenly, I was out flying around over the schoolyard. And it was just amazing. And I was like, okay, this is just really awesome. And then I realized I wasn't in my body and that I should be in class and that my teacher might call on me. And
I remember days like that in school.
but this was not my imagination. And so anyway, then I was back in the classroom hovering over my body. I remember looking down, seeing the back of my head, seeing my dress, and then snap back in my body. And I didn't tell anybody about that for years because I didn't know what an OBE was or that anybody else had ever had that kind of experience.
Right.
But I've never had one, you know, from the sleeping paralysis type of thing. So,
right. There's different ways. That what you had was called a spontaneous spontaneous controlled out-of-body experience. Some people, through the nap process, if you fell asleep, or even I've heard of reports of people writing me who've been jogging and get into that rhythm and find themselves above their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you had was something that sometimes happens to us that's spontaneous.
You want to hear
very natural.
The coolest one I ever had, dream. Mm-hmm. I guess it was a dream. I'm not really sure because it was so incredibly vivid. It was something like out of a Disney movie. I was at the very top of the Empire State Building in New York, and a fairy, go ahead and laugh, I don't care, a fairy or something like a fairy sprinkled me with this multicolored, I don't know, stuff. And I was able to fly up above Manhattan in the most free, amazing, wonderful flight. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was when I woke up, it was so vivid and so wonderful. I suppose that could have been an OBE, but I regarded it at the time as just a wonderful dream,
right.
Really a good one.
Well, it could have been. Sometimes OBEs are mixed in with this dream material or this imagination material.
Yes.
So it still could have been, even though it had other elements to it.
Okay. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Albert Taylor. Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Art. I love the show.
Thank you. Where are you?
I am in Washington State.
Okay.
Albert, I'm so excited to get to talk to you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm a regular projector, a conscious and willing projector. and I haven't read your book, but I've read part of the Monroe Trilogy, and I'm discovering more about what's been happening to me.
Awesome.
My question was... do you think that anything, or have you experienced anything in your adventure so far that kind of give rise to maybe a thought about a change in human consciousness? Have you seen anything about us? You know, we obviously we've hit a point in society right now with, you know, all the terrorism and everything that's going on. And so, have you seen anything in your adventures that shows you that we're going to have a change in human consciousness, and that this astral projection is going to be kind of a part of that?
That's a very good question.
It is a good question. I can't say there's going to be like an abrupt change, like, you know, a shift, but it's already in progress. There's a lot of people thinking are looking beyond the religious beliefs that they've grew up in and found things a peaceful realization in a more spiritual way.
Mm-hmm.
When we become to dominate the planet with that kind of belief system, then things are going to change. They have to change because you cannot behave the way you used to. You have a new understanding. Even in my own personal life, my life has changed that there's certain behaviors and ideals that no longer serve me. So definitely there is a change. It may not happen in our lifetime because there's still a lot going on in other areas. But eventually I do see something, this planet changing and becoming truly like heaven on earth.
Albert, have you ever considered going into the future, not to view your own personal future? I have a sort of a personal concern about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
However, but going ahead to look at mankind's more immediate future, you know, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years from now?
I thought about it, Ari, but I'm so afraid now because of what happened to me that I pretty much stay away from that. But I definitely thought about it. That's maybe that's a hurdle that I can't get over because of what happened to me. So I stay away from that.
That traumatized you, didn't it?
It really, really did. I cannot even stress how much it did.
I can understand. See the disintegration of your own family and then to see it begin to occur and not be able to do a damn thing about it.
Right. It was devastating.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm over it now, but it was devastating.
You're on the air with Albert Taylor. Good morning.
Yes, hello.
Hello, where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Mays Landing, New Jersey.
Okay.
Albert, I'd like to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. A while back ago in November, I had a dream that my mother came to me and told me my brother was passing away. So then in November, my mother and him set up to the mental home to see my brother and talk to him. And then December 8th, he passed away. Can you tell me what that is about?
A warning?
Is your mother alive?
No, this is my brother, my oldest brother. He died December 8th. I had a dream that my mother came to me and said, I'm just calling to tell you your brother passed away.
Right.
So my mother and him shot to the mental home to see him where he was at because he had mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then he passed away December 8th in the bed in the mental home. He died.
Well, it's similar to what's called a parting vision, except usually the deceased person comes to you. But this case, your mother was like a messenger.
Yeah.
So when you're in that state of consciousness, that's when they can reach us, and that's when they can communicate with us. So she was coming to you to share with something, maybe to soften the blow on or to make it easier for you to accept what was about to happen. But that occurs quite often, and it wouldn't surprise me in the future if you actually had a dream about your brother. And
Albert,
he was healthy and whole.
We're out of time, buddy. We are out of time. What a program. We're going to do this again, of course. In the meantime, you would like people to go to your website, right?
Right, yes. It's www.thepri.com, thepri.com. That's our paranormal website. And then, of course, they can always go to alberttaylor.com.
Okay. Got it. Take care. Have a good night. Thanks
Thank you,
for being here.
Okay.
It's been great.